the King of Kings is coming, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes and when he sets up his kingdom, beloved, then all the nations of this world will come under submission to him. It will be a glorious day. It will be a day when we will be recognized for being a wise people because we believed in God. And yet, beloved, before those days, all hell is going to break loose. And I want to make sure that you're prepared to stand firm. From the book of truth, which is the word of God, which is the Bible, is so important today. And the word, the two words that I want you to get in your mind is this: stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Now, why do you need to stand firm? You need to stand firm because before Jesus Christ comes, all hell is going to break loose on this earth. Before Jesus Christ comes, all the forces of the evil one are going to be unleashed on those who hold to the name of Jesus Christ. And so as we saw when we were studying Philippians chapter 3, our ambition, our goal, our passion ought to be the coming of Jesus Christ. We ought to be eagerly waiting for the Savior from heaven who will deliver us from this destruction on this earth and who will transform this body into the state of his glorious body. Now, as Paul says and writes all this, and as he constantly reminds the recipients of his letter, his epistle, he wants them to remember Jesus is coming, but until then, this is the way that you are to behave. Now, one of the things that you will see as you read through Paul's epistles, his letters to the various churches, is that he is constantly talking about the coming of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you study 1 Thessalonians, we find out that basically the scripture tells us that he was there 3 weeks. Now, he may have been there longer, but from Acts and from Thessalonians, we only know that he was there 3 weeks. And yet in those 3 weeks, he taught them about the coming of Jesus Christ. He exhorted them to be steadfast. He exhorted them to stand firm. He exhorted them to be blameless, without spot at the day of the Lord's coming. But he also told them about the day of the Lord. A terrible day, a day of darkness, a day of destruction that would precede the coming of Jesus Christ when he set up his kingdom here on earth. Also, what you will find as you look at those epistles is you would find these two words, stand firm. Now, let's look at it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, he has just told them, watch the way others walk. If they don't walk the way I'm walking, then know this, that they are not walking properly, that their God is their appetite, that they are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, that that their glory is their shame, and they're going to end up in destruction. And now what he says is, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Now watch what he says. It shows you how very precious these people are to him, just like you're very precious to me. And that's why I call you from time to time, precious one. That's why I call you beloved, because I want you to understand that if you belong to God, you are so precious to him. You are so precious. In the book of Daniel, Daniel is referred to in the New American Standard as a man of high high esteem. And yet that word high esteem in the Hebrew literally means precious one. You are precious to God. You are so precious that what God did was He crucified His Son. He killed His Son by putting your sins and my sins on Him. And Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected from the dead so that you might have forgiveness of sins and you might have eternal life. That's how precious you are. If God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son for you, then you've got to know that you are very, very precious to Him. So He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, now He calls them my joy and crown. We'll look at it in just a minute. In this way, stand firm in the Lord. And then He says it again, my beloved. Now, what you want to do is you want to mark that term, stand firm. And you want to mark it in such a way. And what we suggest when you download the study guide for the course on Philippians, and it's not too late, because there is more to see and more to learn. And not only that, you'll get everything that you've missed if you have not been following this series on Philippians. But when you download it, one of the things that we tell you is, if you want to learn how to study your Bible, then you need to look for key repeated words. And a key repeated word is a word that is very important to the text. It's a point that God wants you to get. And because He wants you to get it, He will repeat it to you. Now, this term, stand firm, is used in several other places in the book of Philippians. So let's go back to the book of Philippians. And it's Philippians chapter 1. In verse 27, and it says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that word worthy means of the same weight. In other words, this is who Jesus Christ is. So you don't live way down here on a lower plane. You live in a manner worthy of equal weight of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ determines my relationships. He determines my vocabulary. He determines the way I talk to people, even when I am inwardly irritated with them. He determines the way I dress. You know, I don't dress in a sensuous way. I could, but I don't dress in a sensuous way. Why? Because that's not befitting Jesus Christ. So I'm going to conduct myself, and I'm going to conduct myself properly. I'm going to conduct myself graciously. And because I belong to Him, because I'm a representative of Him, because I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. So He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that whether I come or and see you or remain absent, whether I show up on your front door, at your front door, or whether you don't see me, I will hear of you that you are standing firm. And the reason you have to stand firm, and that means you dig your heels in, that means you're steadfast, that means you're immovable, that means that you don't compromise. The reason that you stand firm is because everything in this world is designed to take you away from God. Everything in this world, because it lies under the power of the evil one, is designed to distract you from Christlikeness, and you don't want that to happen. And so He says, you stand firm in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So now He's talking to them collectively, and He's saying, I want each one of you to stand firm. Collectively, I want you to stand firm. Collectively, and this is important to understanding what's coming in Philippians 4, so hang in there with me, baby. Okay, so what He's saying, collectively, I want you to stand firm with one mind. I don't want you divided. I don't want part of you going this way and part of you going that way. I don't want you divided in spirit. I want you united in spirit, in one spirit, and that is united in one spirit under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what the enemy wants to do, and the way that the enemy works, is he divides in order to conquer. And what he will do is he will come in and he will divide the troops. And when he divides the troop, that's in order to bring a split, because when he can split you, then you're not as strong as you are together. So he opens this epistle in this first chapter with telling them how they're to conduct themselves and how they're to stand firm. So that's the first time stand firm is used. You say, you must have good notes in your Bible because you just spotted that quickly. The reason I spotted it quickly is because of the way I marked it. I color-coded it so I can look down in any of Paul's epistles, and whether it's this or Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians or whatever, I can see where that word stand firm is because I have it color-coded in a certain way. I have a New Inductive Study Bible. And at the beginning of the New Inductive Study Bible, what you have is you have pages that tell you how to mark the text. And they tell you how to mark the text. And as they do, there is a list there of keywords that you ought to mark in the same way throughout your Bible. Then you can also make yourself, as the study guide suggests, your own keyword bookmark so that you can keep it in there, and as you read through the Bible, then you mark it. And of course, my goal for you, my passion for you, is that you would get a New Inductive Study Bible, because it does not give you an interpretation of the text, but it tells you book by book how to take apart every book of the Bible and what words to mark, and shows you how to observe the text. Well, the next place that you hear or you see stand firm is not in the word stand firm, but it's the same sense of holding fast. If I stand firm, I'm holding fast. So here's a synonymous term I marked in the same way, and it's in chapter 2, and it's verse 16. And it says, holding fast the word of life. Now watch this phrase, because right after the break, we're going to come back and see the importance of this phrase. Holding fast the word of life so that, and here's the phrase, in the day of Christ, we have reason to glory. Now remember what he said? Remember he says, my joy and my crown. Well, as you understand this, and as you stand firm, and as you do the work that God has called you to do, then you're going to gather others who are going to be your joy and your crown in the day of Christ. So he's saying, and his concern is, in the light of the times, you've got to stand firm. We'll talk about it more right after this important announcement. Welcome back, my joy and my crown. You really are my joy. And in a sense, if I am having the privilege of being your teacher, then you are my crown, because I'm having the awesome, awesome opportunity of using the spiritual gift that God has given me, and He's given each one of us a spiritual gift. There are 19 of them listed in the Word of God, 19 to 20 or 21, debating some of them, but there are that many, and each one of us, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, has one or more spiritual gifts. And so I'm getting to exercise my spiritual gift of teaching with you. And as you listen and as you study with me, as God unites our hearts together and as God brings our lives together and weaves them together, then you become my joy and my crown. Well, as Paul was writing this epistle to the church at Philippi, this was a church that had suffered like other churches. This was a church that he warned in Philippians chapter 1 when he told him to stand firm. He said in verse 28, "In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction to them," he says, "but of salvation for you, and that from God." So he says, you're to stand firm, and even if your opponents are threatening you, you are not to be alarmed by your opponents. And you're not to be alarmed because it says that when you're not alarmed, it shows them, hey, you know that there is more to this life than this life. You know that your citizenship is in heaven. You know that Jesus Christ is coming, and you're eagerly awaiting for that day. Now, it's called when he comes to get his church, to get his bride, to take his bride up off of this earth, to take his bride to heaven, to get her ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, to get her ready for her heavenly bridegroom and that wedding supper that is going to come. What he's doing and what he's telling her is that you are my joy and you are my crown in the day of Christ. This is when Christ is going to have his day. This is when the world is going to recognize that Jesus is not a swear word. Doesn't it just blow your mind that you can swear and use the name of Jesus Christ as profanity, but the minute that you use it to call him who he is or to acknowledge who he is, then everybody wants to shut your mouth, whether you're in a school, whether you're on a jury, whether you're in a business relationship, whether you're an ambassador, whether you're a speaker, whatever. They just want to silence you unless you're just using his name as profanity. But there is a day coming, and it is called the day of Christ. Now watch what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy," and there's that word joy again, "my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord my beloved." He wants them to stand firm. Why? Because in the last days, because of the pressure, we're going to be tempted to turn away. But he wants them to stand firm, and the reason he wants them to stand firm is because he knows that in these last days, the enemy's going to seek to divide and conquer. So watch what he does, and then we're going to come back and look at this day of Christ. He says, "I urge Odia, and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord." And so he's saying, look, you're to be united in one mind. You're to be united in one spirit. I want you to live in harmony in the Lord. Now, what is the way that you really live in harmony in the Lord? Well, I will tell you, the thing, precious one, that brings you into harmony in the Lord is understanding the Word of God. It's doing exactly what we're doing. And that's why I'm so eager to have you go to our website. I'm so eager to have you download this study guide and study along with us. So put this down. It's preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com. com. And that way, you and I can get connected in an even deeper way. That way, you can send me messages. That way, you and I can talk together. That way, you and I can grow, and you will be my crown. You will be my joy. You will be my rejoicing in the day of Christ. Now, let's look at this, and let's go, and what you want to do. And this is what we teach you in the study guide, is we teach you to put a cross reference in the margin of your Bible. If you have a new inductive study Bible, that's easy to do because it has beautiful wide margins. But in the margin of your Bible, next to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, you would write 1 Thessalonians 2:19. You don't have to spell out Thessalonians. You can just go 1 THES.219. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians. So you want to move back towards Hebrews. All the T's come together before Hebrews. The longest ones are first. So it's Thessalonians, then it's Timothy, then it's Titus, and then Hebrews comes, but there's one little book in there, but it's a one pager practically, two pages, and it's the book of Philemon. All right, so let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. And when you come to that verse, this is what you see. Now watch the similarities between this and between Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. For who is our hope or our joy or our exaltation? Is it not even you? Now watch. In the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming, for you are our glory and joy. Do you see the parallels? Do you see the parallels? And this is letting Scripture interpret Scripture. And let me read Philippians 4, verse 1 again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, my joy and my crown. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation, of rejoicing? Exaltation is another way to mark rejoice. So you can mark it the same way you mark rejoice. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Now, every time I come to a reference to the coming of the Lord, which I see in 1 Thessalonians in these verses, I put a blue cloud around it. Then I color the outsides in a pale blue and the center in yellow, because the yellow is my color for God. He is the light of the world and he is coming. And so this is what he wants him to know. Now let's go back and summarize what we have seen and what is so important. When the time of Christ comes, then, and the day of Christ comes, and when God gets ready to send his son to rule as King of Kings, it's going to get rough. It's going to get very, very rough. And the world is going to seek to conquer and to divide us. The world is going to seek to silence us. So we need to stand firm, but we also need to be of one mind and one spirit. We need to live in harmony together. And this word harmony, here you can mark with an A. This needs to be our attitude. And he says, I ask you to help those who have shared in the struggle and the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, you and I need to help one another stand firm. You and I need to help one another to be of one mind and one heart. Heart and one spirit, and you and I need to reach out to others who are our crown of joy and rejoicing. Go for it, beloved. Stand firm.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International. And it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Okay, my precious joy and crown, beloved of God, it is time for our precept for life. What is the takeaway value that we have from this lesson? What can we take and apply to our lives today, tomorrow, and in the days and weeks to come? Well, obviously, it should be that statement, stand firm. That means that you are to be steadfast. That means that you are to be immovable. Well, let's look at it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, remember, we saw, and I told you this before, and a lot of people used to know this, but they don't know it anymore because they haven't been raised on the Bible as much because many, many times the Bible really isn't taught in depth in a church anymore because what they want to do is they keep trying to reach the world, and so they don't give them the meat of the Word of God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter, that chapter where he talks about our brand new body, this is what he says in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Immovable is another way of saying stand firm. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What his precept for you today is this, that if you will stand firm, you won't do it in vain. It won't be for nothing because he is coming and he is going to reward you for standing firm. But not only that, but when you stand firm, you enable others to stand firm. And in your standing firm, remember the enemy's going to try to divide you. So you need to be aware of his tricks and his methods and his devices. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, this is what he says. He says in verse 5, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter, Satan, might have tempted you and our labor might have been in vain. But then he goes on to say, hey, I found out that you stood firm. And he says in verse 8, for now we really live if you stand firm. And I want you to know, my joy and my crown, I really live if you stand firm. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he tells them in verse 15, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught. Hold to the word of God, whether by mouth, he says, or by letter from us, whether you heard it in person or whether you read it in the word that I wrote. I want you to stand firm. That's my word, our precept for life today.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.